You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go, everybody. Another edition of Locked On Lions. Let's play it on a Wednesday, a crossover Wednesday, October 23rd, and a Thursday, October 24th. Matt Derry with you as the Lions get back on the field and get ready for the New York Giants invasion of Ford Field this coming Sunday. Giants have had their struggles this year. There's no question about it. Just a two-win football team, while the Lions sit also with two wins at 2-3-1. And all the talk continues to be about Quandre Diggs. You will hear from Matt Patricia momentarily on why they made this move, how they feel going into Sunday without their starting safety, and really the mindset of Patricia right now. We'll play the first couple of minutes of his comments from today in discussing Quandre Diggs. Patricia Traina is the host of Locked On Giants right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So we will do the crossover with her. Now, bear in mind, keep this in mind, we taped the crossover with Patricia Traina before all these moves were made, the Kerryon Johnson IR thing and the Diggs thing. So keep that in mind when you're listening to it. And obviously, when we do the crossovers, we want to give our audience a look into what's going on with the Giants and vice versa on the other side. So keep that all in mind. We are brought to you today in part by Blue Chew and by our friends at MyBookie. Really nothing has changed as far as I'm concerned. I'm still scratching my head a little bit as to why this team made the Quandre Diggs move. Let's hear from Matt Patricia. Here's the bottom line, folks. The bottom line is this. The Lions need to win Sunday. Because if they lose Sunday, all hell's going to break loose. If you recall last year, the reason why many people, yours truly included in this, didn't like the Golden Tate move and trading Golden Tate was because the team wasn't playing well, and then the team went on to have a lousy second-half offense and lose six of their last nine games. And I looked at it as a waving of the white flag and giving a free pass to Matt Patricia for a poor coaching job. If this team goes on a run and Will Harris becomes a really good player and some of these other younger defensive backs start stepping up and playing better, C.J. Moore, Miles Killebrew's name came up today, all good. The Lions will win more games and things will be good. But if this team starts losing, players start pouting, players start talking about how they lost their defensive captain for a fifth-round draft pick, that's when I think we can really look at this and say, it's a problem. Go win the game Sunday. Go win. And then win the next one. Beat the Raiders. Win the next one after that. I mean, the Giants are 2-5. 2-5. Knock them off. The Raiders are 3-3. Knock them off. The Bears are 3-3. We're not talking about playing 5-1 and 6-0 teams here. As promised, Matt Patricia, Lions head coach, earlier today, courtesy of DetroitLions.com.
You know, obviously last night with the roster, had a trade with Seattle and sent Quandre Diggs to Seattle for draft pick. And, those decisions are very difficult. They're not taken lightly. They're certainly, things that we try to do to help the team get better in the long run for us. And certainly in a situation where, we think moving forward, hopefully we have some players that can still help us, even if we have to or do make a move, like we did yesterday. So those other guys are going to have to step up. They're going to have to go play and try to, do everything they can to help us to win. But the team's got to push forward and get ready for the Giants. Diggs been a, part of our team for a while and a great person and all that and wish him the best of luck. In the end, just trying to do everything we can to help our team going forward, really kind of the bottom line.
And Matt, it's obviously part of the business, but there was a reaction, obviously, from the players, frustrated, they obviously really cared about having it as a teammate. What's your philosophy on, selling that, like you just said, this is the best for the team and taking that frustration and turning it into something positive?
Yeah, that's always the challenge. I think, in the NFL in general, really in sports or business, we're all in situations where we have friends or people we're really close with that are either no longer, working with us or whatever the situation is. And those situations, we just really got to focus on making sure that we're doing everything possible to help ourselves and help the team win from that aspect of it and doing everything that we can to do our jobs better, first and foremost. But, you know, you hate to see those situations when they come up, but, you know, you get it. You understand that, people are trying to do what they think is best going forward, and you respect that. And, you know, you just go back to work. You know, that's really kind of the bottom line. You know, and again, for us, you know, the great thing about football is it is about relationships. And there's a lot of those relationships that, you know, change from a day-to-day relationship to now it's a, hey, when I call you or when I see you or whatever it is. But those bonds, those connections are still always strong. And that's the best part about this. You know, when you spend that much time with each other and that much invested with each other, that's what makes it so strong. So,
or playoffs down the line, obviously in the thick of things. When you trade a starter like Diggs, it speaks volume to the depth you feel like you have behind him. Can you just speak to the depth you have at the safety spot, the comfort level you have there?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, we're trying to win every single week. You know, we got a huge challenge in front of us with the Giants coming up. But I think those guys in the back end have all really been working hard and developing. And some of those guys have had to really play in the last couple weeks and in some of those bigger games that we've had so far this year. You know, Will Harris is certainly someone that's had to step into some roles. Tracy Walker plays more for us in some of those roles. Tavon Wilson, who's been a, you know, good solid player for us for a long time. CJ Moore, you'll see him. He's been mixed out there actually in some of these games too and in some other aspects. And we have some depth too, you know, guys that have played for us in the past. You know, Killebrew would be another one. So with those guys, you know, they'll continually push to get better. And they understand that, you know, maybe they have to take on a little bit more workload or whatever job responsibility it is. But I think they're good with that challenge. They'll accept that challenge and kind of go forward from there. So, you know, for us, we just, you know, we're just trying to do everything we can to put a good product out on the field this week and try to win.
All right, there is the Lions head coach, Matt Patricia, courtesy of DetroitLions.com, about what I expected that he would say. The Lions have not made any big moves today. They brought up Paul Perkins. There's not been a trade for Melvin Gordon. They've not brought back Zach Zenner. There's still an open roster spot. We'll see what that's going to, you know, what that will entail over the next couple of days. I don't think this team's going to make a home run move. I'd like them to, but I don't see them doing it. The crossover is next. First, MyBookie. As a true football fan, you already know just as sure as the season's changed and changed, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same thing? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so it is time to get off the sidelines and start getting in the game with MyBookie. All right, they are the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines, best prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, go to MyBookie. All right, MyBookie.ag is the best. You want to try a parlay, they got it. Second half plays, go for it. It's awesome. Best part is if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit so you can use that you can use on all your favorite picks. All right, use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. And I promise you, folks, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, Wednesday crossover, Locked On Lions, Matt Derry, Locked On Giants, Patricia Traina. These two teams will meet up at Ford Field this weekend. Patricia, it's not been pretty for the for the Giants over the last couple of weeks, certainly, and certainly that rain game last Sunday, an ugly one. How stunned were Giants fans to lose at home to the Cardinals?
Yeah, it was a shock. The Giants had 10 days to prepare for that game. They had the Arizona Cardinals flying cross-country for a 1 o'clock game, an Arizona Cardinal team that I think barely won their two games that they came in having won. It was a disappointment, that's for sure, especially considering that even though the Giants lost to the New England Patriots, you know, in the previous game, they played them pretty tough, you know, a lot tougher than I think a lot of people thought they would. So there was some hope that they would recognize that, hey, you know, especially with the NFC East being as tight as it was, there was some hope that they would be able to turn it around and potentially, you know, get on a streak there. But they just fell flat.
Tell me about, you know, this whole Daniel Jones situation, you know, starting with the draft, Dave Gettleman getting a lot of flack for taking Jones as high as he did. And then all of a sudden the game, the comeback a game where Jones wins against Tampa and he's Danny Dimes and everybody loves him. And now where are things at with him and how down to earth kind of, or how back to earth is it with having a rookie quarterback in that market?
Well, I mean, people kind of, you know, fell in love with Danny Dimes in the preseason, and rightfully so. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback prospect. And then, of course, he comes out and he has that outstanding game against Tampa Bay. Now what happens, though, is defensive coordinators get film on the guy. They start to see what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do. And then, you know, throw in the fact that Jones has had some injuries to his skill position players. He's yet to have Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Evan Engram, and Saquon Barkley on the field at the same time. And you've also tossed in the fact that the Giants, for whatever reason, have moved away from throwing more often on first downs, which was a strength of Daniel Jones's and the offense in the preseason. And you just, now all of a sudden, you have a situation where you're looking at him and you're saying, okay, you know, maybe he isn't what we thought he was. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think he still has a lot of upside. I just think that the Giants need to maybe step back a little bit and reevaluate how they are handling him.
Patricia Traina, the voice of a Locked On Giants, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. These two teams will meet up on Sunday at Ford Field. You know, the Lions can't rush the passer, Patricia. It's a big problem, and I know we'll get into that in a little bit. The Giants, on the other hand, couldn't stop the Arizona pass rush. 8 sacks this past Sunday. How big of an issue is this Giants O-line?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people are going to look at the offensive line and say they were awful. And I'm not saying that they played a pristine game, but a good half of those sacks that they gave up, allegedly gave up, actually were the result of some other issues. For example, Daniel Jones holding the ball too long, or there was one instance where Saquon Barkley just totally whiffed on Chandler Jones. There was another instance where the timing of a particular pass play was late, and the Cardinals, being as quick as they were able to get into the backfield. So I don't think it's all on the offensive line. I think they kind of get a bum's rap there, but, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at the NFL stats, you're going to see, you know, that they gave up 8 sacks, and people are going to say, well, it happened, you know, it was the offensive line, and they were garbage. But, you know, from having watched the film on it, I don't think that was all on their doing.
What's up with Saquon? I know he's been hurt coming back, played this past week. I know he's not 100%. You know, the Lions are having a lot of trouble stopping the run. How healthy is Barkley right now? And will the game plan for Pat Shurmur and company just be to feed their second year back all day?
I don't know that that will be the game plan all day. You've got to achieve balance. But with that said, you know, just to go back to your first question, how healthy is he? Last week, I thought Barkley looked like he was struggling at times. You know, he was, before his injury, he was masterful at making cuts and fooling guys. And there's one play in particular that sticks out in my mind that basically screamed to me that he is not yet 100% right. And I don't know that he will be, quite frankly, from that ankle injury. It was a play in which he got to the second level. He broke a tackle, and he got to the second level. He had one guy to beat, and it would have been daylight to the end zone. And he, you know, normally I think if he had been able to put his foot in the ground and cut, he would have beaten that guy no problem. But he was not able to do that. Instead, he tried to run the guy over, and he didn't come, you know, he wasn't able to do that. So it was a 20-something yard gain. So, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at, but I think it was a run that, had he been able to plant his foot and cut, he would have been able to take it all the way to the house. Now, how much of that was a result of the wet turf last week, that I'm sure factored into it, but I just don't know that Barkley's ankle is you know, it's better. Obviously, it's well enough for him to play, but I have a gut feeling you're going to see his practice reps manage the rest of the way.
We love Golden Tate here in Detroit. How's things gone for him in New York? I know he had the suspension, but I assume he's going to want to come back to Ford Field and have a huge day.
Oh, I'm sure that, you know, every week he's going to want to have a huge day. That's just the type of, you know, player Golden Tate is. The thing with Golden Tate that's really interesting is how the Giants have been using him. I think he has a reputation as being a great slot receiver. The Giants really haven't been using him as much in that role, I don't think. Off the top of my head, I don't remember the numbers, but I'm pretty sure that he's been used more along the outside. And what's also interesting is there's been some plays where they've tried to run him, you know, over the middle. And I don't know that that's his strength for him either. I think Golden Tate is probably at his best when he can take a pass and then get outside the numbers and just, you know, scamper up and pick up the yards after the catch. So I don't know that the Giants are necessarily using him the right way just yet, but it is still kind of early in his return, and we'll see if they make adjustments along the way.
Matt and Patricia doing Locked on Lions and Locked on Giants, the Wednesday crossover here. You know, Matt Patricia is getting a lot of heat in Detroit, and you know, look, they're not winning. And certainly some fans are starting to get upset. Pat Shurmur's getting destroyed, you know, the Francesa incident, everything else that's gone on. I know fans were not happy with his play calling in the fourth quarter of the Cardinal game. How much heat is on the coach right now, or is that just media stuff?
Well, I mean, there's definitely some grumblings about the coach and how he has handled a bunch of things, but here's the reality of the situation. They brought Pat Shurmur in part to develop Daniel Jones. He is not even a full year into that process. So I think that Pat Shurmur is not only safe for this week, or not this week, for this year, I think he's safe for next year. But with that said, if the team doesn't start turning it around, then after next year, all bets are going to be off.
What about on defense for the Giants? We know Jabril Peppers, Michigan kid, is played better since the Giants have acquired him. But what are some strengths, some weaknesses when you look at that New York defense?
In terms of the defense, the strength, believe it or not, we thought coming into the season the strength would be the defensive secondary. That has not necessarily been the case. The reason for that being is they've been inconsistent. They have some youth back there. You mentioned Jabril Peppers, who's been a little inconsistent. They have DeAndre Baker, who's a rookie. He started off rough, but you know, has gotten better. Janoris Jenkins, for the most part, has been okay, but every once in a while he does something that makes you sit up and scream, "What the heck are you doing?" And Antoine Bethea, who, for whatever reason, they have him playing in the next county on so many pass plays, it makes you wonder, you know, are they concerned about the speed there that they have him playing so deep? I mean, a lot of times it's almost like the Giants are playing with 10 players on defense. That's how deep he is. Up front, though, I think is where the Giants really need to take control. I mean, they have Dexter Lawrence, and he's been an absolute stud. But of late, defensive coordinator James Betcher has been doing some weird things with that defense. Like, for example, against the Cardinals last week, they were so concerned about stopping Kyler Murray in the passing game that they went with a lighter package. And that's why the Cardinals were able to have such success against the run. I mean, they were able to plow guys right up the middle because the Giants either played like two defensive linemen or in some cases no defensive linemen, and they were able to find success because now you have a running back going against a linebacker or a defensive back, and that's really not a good matchup there. So I just think that this is a defense that is still trying to find its identity. I don't know what that identity is, but it's a defense that needs to be a little bit more consistent, and they need to, you know, get better production from some of these guys that they're trotting out there.
All right, we'll flip the script when we come back after this, and Patricia and I will talk about the Lions next on the Wednesday crossover. Taking a quick break to talk about sex, good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance. Get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. You go to www.bluechew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable that has the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So, you know they work. I was just talking to my buddy Eastside Paul the other day. He's a big Blue Chew guy. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So, you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. No pun intended there. Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships right to your door, discreet packaging, no waiting at a pharmacy, no awkwardness, no doctor's visits, none of that. You get that extra function in the bedroom just by ordering it online. BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. And by the way, get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. Also, a big welcome to the Detroit Lion fans. We are on a crossover Wednesday. Matt Derry and I are talking Giants, Detroit. Matt, of course, is the host of the Locked On Lions podcast, and very happy to have him for this second segment, which we will cover the Detroit Lions. Matt's going to tell us a little bit about the Lions. And Matt, let's start off with some injury concerns that the Lions have. I believe I saw the running back. You have some injuries at running back, and Damon Harrison looks like he has an injury. What can you tell us about the status there?
Well, you guys know Snacks Harrison. He wants to play, and he will play this week, especially against the Giants that traded him. He was on and off the field a couple of different times this past Sunday in the team's loss to the Vikings. He just hasn't played well, and maybe it's an injury thing. He's had a few hiccups here and there, but I think he'll be the first to tell you he's just not playing good football. You know, this is a guy PFF was ranking as the number one run stopper in the league, and now he's ranked up in the in the 80s in terms of defensive linemen, and that's unheard of. So, Snacks has to get it going. I think he'll be fine. As you mentioned, Patricia, the biggest news is Kerryon Johnson, who's been suffering from a knee injury and suffered it Sunday. He's not going to play, I don't think, this week. They're calling it a couple of weeks. The Lions aren't calling it a couple of weeks. It was Adam Schefter who did. The Lions will tell you he's day-to-day and week-to-week. But my guess is you will not see Kerryon Johnson on Sunday, meaning that the Lions are down to basically two healthy running backs, J.D. McKissic, who's more of a slot guy and a guy that is in the backfield sometimes, in the slot other times, and then sixth-round pick Ty Johnson from Maryland. If I had to guess at the time now that we're recording this, the Lions will make another move and add another running back. They did pick up a Trey Carson last week from the Packers off waivers. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to make a deal. Kerryon Johnson has been fantastic, but very injury prone, even going back to his days in Auburn a couple of years ago. This could be a few weeks until he's back.
What about in terms of, let's hone in a little bit more on Snacks, because, the Giants have Saquon Barkley back, and hopefully he's getting a little healthier as they go along. Has it been the scheme? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Snacks just get a new contract there? I mean, where are they using him differently? What exactly is going on? What do you think is behind his struggles?
Well, let's look at the timeline here. He arrives last year midseason. The Lions are playing mostly a 4-3. He's playing alongside A'shaun Robinson, Deshaun Hand, and others, and he flourished. He was unbelievable. And the Lions' run defense, which was a complete sieve for the first half of the season, became one of the better run Ds in the league with Snacks. Fast forward to the offseason, he starts grumbling a little bit about his money situation. He had another year left on his contract this year, for a low number, and he sat out all of the mini camps and even missed, he missed the voluntary stuff, and then there was a mandatory mini camp that both he and Darius Slay did miss, and they were fined. The question was going to be, would Snacks sit out training camp? Well, he showed up day one of training camp. He didn't miss any of training camp, and then boom, something that's unconventional from Bob Quinn, the Lions general manager, who's a Patriot Way guy. Quinn gave him an extension and gave him, another year going through next year at something around $11 or $12 million. So Snacks got an extra year on his deal and got paid extra. So you'd figure, hey, a healthy and a happy Snacks would be good. And it turns out, really, he didn't play much in the preseason, and he just hasn't been himself. I don't know if it's the money. He claims he's just not playing well. The scheme is a little bit different. It's more of a 3-4 situation now, where there's hardly ever four down linemen on the field for the Lions. And I think the scheme needs to be adjusted a little bit, and I think this team needs to put more pressure on the quarterback, and then I think that'll get that entire D-line going, because right now it's a lot of three-man rush, it's a lot of three-man looks, and you know, almost like a 3-8 defense, and it's not working, no matter if it's against the run or the pass. Lions defense right now has been brutal.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like that. And speaking of the Lions defense, I believe you have a couple of other guys, former Giants, Devon Kennard, I think Romeo Okwara, who was given a contract extension. What have they brought to that defense?
Kennard's a great leader. I think he's a really good kid, and he's playing hard. You know, he has his moments. There's some games, a 2 or 3 sack game from him. In week one, he was fantastic. Then there's other times you don't even know he's on the field. It's an inconsistency thing with him. And he's the biggest free agent that the Lions got 2 years ago, and I think he's been okay. Romeo Okwara was a surprise of the year last year, Patricia, with 7.5 sacks and played well, earned a contract. And again, another guy that, you know, to me, none of the guys that are supposed to be getting pressure on the quarterback have done the job. And that's Trey Flowers, too, who they're paying $18 million a year, and he's got 1 sack. They've got to figure something out. I don't know if it's going to be blitzing this week. That's not been what Patricia and Pasqualoni want to do, but everybody up front has not played well, and it's a bit of a surprise.
Where is the strength, then, on that Lions defense?
You know, at the start of the year, it was, oh, my gosh, look at this D-line. Flowers, Snacks, Ashawn, Okwara, Kennard, Deshaun Hand, who's been hurt. Then they get Mike Daniels out of nowhere after he was released by the Packers and chose the Lions. And you're going, oh, my gosh, this D-line is going to be ferocious. And it hasn't been. It's been bad against the run. It has not been able to get to the passer. Strength to me has been the secondary. I love what Tracy Walker does at free safety, along with Quandre Diggs, the other safety spot. Darius Slay is easily the Lions' best defensive player, although hamstring injury kept him out of the second half of the game Sunday. We'll see what his status is this week, but he's a shutdown guy. I like the secondary. I think the secondary's been pretty good. The linebackers in coverage are absolutely clueless. Jared Davis, a former first-round pick, has spent 3 years on this roster and still doesn't know how to cover a tight end. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm looking to Evan Engram of having a huge game this week if they use him properly.
I was just going to ask you if there was a particular matchup that the Giants can benefit from on offense. Would it be Bill Barkley or Engram? Engram, of course, coming off a rather brutal first game back from a knee injury last week. But, you know, he's a guy who, you know, once he gets started and gets into a group, can definitely, I think, stress out a defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Lions have had issues covering the tight end for years. It got a little bit better earlier in the year this year, but then this past weekend, you know, you're talking about Kyle Rudolph, who only seems to have good games against the Lions. You know, light him up again with 5 catches and a touchdown. His touchdown was a play where Davis, who's the middle linebacker, ran the wrong way. I don't know where he was going because Rudolph was running right to his spot in the middle of the field, and Kyle made the catch about 10-yard line, just cruised into the end zone, and Davis was running left or right. So the Lions just have got to get better covering tight ends, running backs out of the backfield. You know, they talk all the time about Patricia wanting versatility and guys that can play outside, play inside, almost positionless football on defense. But it hasn't worked. And, you know, Patricia said this week, it's not the scheme. We just have to do the fundamentals better. But I think some guys have to step up and play better, that they're expecting to play better. And I think the scheme does have to change. You know, with Saquon this week and then Josh, you know, the rookie for the Raiders next week, you know, Josh Jacobs, it's going to be a rough road to hoe for this team to win games if they just can't stop the basic running plays that teams are throwing at them.
All right, now let's flip the tables a little bit. Let's talk about the Lions' offense. According to NFL.com, the Lions have the 8th best overall offense, 380.3 yards per game. They're averaging, it looks like, 24.8 points per game. What has the Detroit Lions' offense been doing so well that it's been able to, you know, maintain the success it's had?
Well, I think it starts with Matthew Stafford. You know, fans have been hard on him, and rightfully so. It's year 11, haven't won a playoff game. He's getting paid, you know, close to $30 million a year. But he's done his part. He really has. Matthew Stafford was told in this offseason with Daryl Bevel as the new offensive coordinator, hey, we're going to be a run-first attack. We're going to have 3 tight ends in the game at times, and you manage the game. Well, now, Ironically enough, this past Sunday, it was the old Stafford. Threw 45 times, threw four touchdowns, threw for over 300 yards, and had to kind of carry the team. So I think the quarterback position's been solid, and Stafford's doing his thing. Run game hasn't been there. It's been like this since Barry Sanders retired, Patricia, and it hasn't gotten any better. Now with Kerryon Johnson out, it's funny. This Lions O-line can really pass block. They do a nice job in protecting number nine. They just can't run the football. I'd look, you talk about highlights. Marvin Jones, a huge game last week. He's a good receiver. So is Kenny Galladay. Amendola underneath. And the tight ends are all pretty good. The Lions' offense hasn't been the issue. The issue's been on the other side of the ball.
Now, the Giants' defense, as I had mentioned on the previous segment, they've had their moments, but they've also had their struggles, their inconsistencies. If you're designing the game plan for the Lions, how do you attack that Giants defense?
You know, I just kind of let Stafford be Stafford, especially with Kerryon out. This is going to have to be a game where Daryl Bevel gets a little bit creative. It seems like the first 15 scripted plays, the Lions are always scoring points. But then it's that third and fourth quarter where they're not scripted, where they kind of go in the tank. I'd be running screens against that Giants defense. I'd let Stafford throw the ball deep. Watch for a guy named Marvin Hall at least once or twice a game gets behind the secondary for a deep ball. And if it works, go back to it. You know, that's been the Lions' MO for years, even going back to Jim Bob Cooter's offenses, is something works, why not use it again? I'm not saying use it the next play, but, to me, if the Lions are going to win this football game Sunday, number one, they got to stop Barkley, and number two, just let Stafford do his thing and utilize Kenny Galladay, too. Only two targets this past Sunday, not enough. He's a really good receiver, a big receiver, physical, and I think it caused some problems for the Giants.
All right, Matt, great stuff. Thank you so much for breaking down the Detroit Lions. Giant fans, Lion fans, thank you so much for tuning in. For Matt Derry, this is Patricia Traina. Have a great day.
Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants. That'll do it for our Wednesday crossover. Boy, the Giants sound like they are a mess. Lions have got to beat this team. 2-5 football team with coaching issues on defense, offensive line struggles, and a rookie quarterback at home. Lions got to take care of business. This has been the Wednesday crossover, brought to you by Blue Chew and by MyBookie. We'll do it all again tomorrow.